Man, wasn't that awesome? Seeing those baptisms? Yeah, let's give God praise once again. Amen. We serve an awesome, mighty God. Well, it's good to be with you. Like Sandy said, my name is Nick Cadoon. I'm the pastor of Creative Arts and Worship here. And it's good to be here bringing the word this morning. And, you know, if it's your first time with us today, I just want to bring you up to speed. We're in the middle of this series called Code. The Code. Oh, are you sure you wanted me to preach? Oh, there's Sandy. Come on up. No, the Code, right? And it's in this series that we're looking at our values as a church, right? Our values, our deeply held core convictions, those things that lead us and inspire us and guide us and inform us of how we are to fulfill our purpose, which is to live like Jesus, grow together and serve his kingdom. We've got seven values that help us do this, help us fulfill our purpose. And those are authenticity, boldness, creativity, excellence, prayer, word and spirit, and others. And it's these seven values that make up our code. So we're preaching through that. We've been preaching on a value a week for the past 5 weeks, bringing us to week 6 of 7, value 6 of 7, to word and spirit. Word and spirit. And you know, this value is a little unique, right? All these other pieces of wood, you see, there's just one written on there. But word and spirit, there's two. And so instead of getting to preach for 30 minutes, I get to preach for 60. No, I'm just kidding. It's going to be good, right? Here we go. Word and spirit. But it is unique, right? There's two in one. And that's intentional. Word and spirit, two in one. These different ideas, these two separate gifts from God the Father, yet intertwined into this one value, word and spirit. And we have the word, right? The revealed, spoken, true, inerrant, inspired word of God. And then we have spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the gift of the Father, our counselor, our advocate, our teacher, the one who fills and indwells and inspires the church, the Holy Spirit, word and spirit together, intertwined, and we've put them in the one value for a reason. It's not word or spirit this morning. It's word and spirit. Word and spirit, held together, held in unity, held in balance. We need both of them. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. If you've got your Bibles with you, I invite you to bust those out this morning. We're going to need them. Our hosts, can you guys come forward? We've got these things called house Bibles as well. And if you don't have a Bible with you today, I encourage you to snag one up, grab one from one of these fine gentlemen here, and use it to track along. I'll even tell you the page number. It's really easy to follow along with us this morning. We've got these house Bibles each week accessible to us. We'll even have the words on the screen as well. We don't want anyone missing out from getting to follow along and read the word of the Lord to track along with us as we're preaching this morning. So that's our house Bibles. I invite you to follow along today. And you know, as we kick off this message, can we all stand up? Can we stand up and read out loud together our value of word and spirit? Can we do that? Yeah, crowd participation time. Blake, it's good. All right, but before we do that, while we're standing, let's pray. Let's pray. King Jesus, we are here because of you. We are here for you. And we need you. We desperately need you, Lord, to speak into our lives. And so, God, we invite you today to speak to us through your word and by your spirit on this topic of word and spirit. God, would you speak to our hearts? Would it be your voice that we hear? Would you challenge us and inspire us and stretch us and encourage us this morning? Would you teach us those things that you want us to know? Take us to those places where you want us as your people to go faithfully and fearlessly with you leading us, Jesus. So speak to us, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, ready to do it? Ready to say this out loud with passion, with conviction, like we mean it? Yeah. Here we go. Okay. We honor God's word and tremble before its power. We seek to be shaped and guided by the scriptures in all we do. We thrive as a community that focuses on regularly hearing God's revealed truth. We anchor the Bible's teachings to all ages of people in our church. We also long for, seek, and expect the presence, power, and capacity of the Holy Spirit to be upon us. We believe his wind and breath brings us to life, so that we may be empowered as a movement of people. We walk in humility, surrender, and dependency upon the Spirit. We believe form and structure must submit to the Spirit, so that we may be fully receptive to God's presence amongst us. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Thanks for doing that with me. Let me ask you this, friends. Do you believe these words that we just read out loud? Yes. Yeah, you believe this statement, this conviction about word and spirit and the importance of these two gifts to us as believers. If you've been around the church for any significant time, maybe you've been raised in the church, right? Born into Christianity, so to speak. Maybe you're on the other end of the spectrum and this church thing is new for you. But if you've been around the church for any length of time, you likely know the importance of this book to us. And I think as Christians, we're good for this, right? Well, we hold high the importance of the word. We say that we're a word church, one centered on the preaching and teaching of God's word. And we love this book, right? Here's the Crave part. We went through a series last year called Crave. It was a 6-part series, and we looked at the sole topic of this, of the Word of God. 6 weeks, we dug in, and we looked at the Word of God, and we discovered in a fresh new way that we desperately need the Word of God in our lives. We need the Word of God to direct us, to correct us, to encourage and equip us. We need this book to feed our souls. We found out in that series, we learned maybe for a first time, for a second time, that the Word of God is our spiritual food. It fills our hearts, it sustains us, it nourishes us. We also learned that we need the Word of God as it's one of those main avenues by which God speaks to his people. It's by which he reveals more about himself to us, right? We learn about Father, Son, and Spirit in this book. We also read and learn about the life-saving salvation that is in and through Jesus only. And we find that in the Word. And we need this book in order to know God more. We need this book in order that we would live like Jesus, grow together, and serve God's kingdom. And God speaks to us through his word. He reveals himself to us in his word. And so we honor it. We honor God's word. And I absolutely believe this. This idea that's in our description of word and spirit, that we are to honor God's word. That we are to be in awe of the life-bringing power that this book brings through its words and through its message. If you guys have your Bibles open, come with me to the book of Hebrews, starting at chapter 4, verse 12. That's page 1206 in your house Bibles. Again, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is alive and active, the writer says. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God is alive, friends. It has purpose. It has a role in our lives. It's alive and active, and it is powerful. The Word of God judges our thoughts, it discerns our motives, it reveals to us our sin and our sinfulness, but it also comforts, it also refreshes and teaches and inspires, and it revives the downcast soul. And through the message of Jesus, the Word of God brings life. And it's when we allow the Word of God to saturate our lives, to saturate our minds, it compels us to and helps us grow in our Christ-likeness. It's powerful. We need the Word of God in our lives. I also love that part in our description of Word and Spirit that states how we seek to be shaped and guided by the Scriptures in all we do. Let's go to the book of 2 Timothy. That's the New Testament, page 1199 in your house Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 16. These are words by the Apostle Paul to his spiritual son, Timothy. And Paul says this, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. What Paul's saying here, friends, is number one, that the Word of God is God-breathed. These words and concepts and promises found within this book before being physically written down by the authors of Scripture, that they were conceived in the mind of God, and then they were breathed into existence, so to speak, by God through men like Moses, men like David, Solomon, the prophets, the New Testament writers, Paul, Peter, the gospel writers, James. These words of God were given to the authors of Scripture to write down in their own language with their own word and personal spin on it. And they're written down for you and for I and for all people in order that we would know how to live rightly before God. And then Paul says this, not only is it God-breathed, but it is God-given in the sense that these words are useful to us. They are useful to us. They've been written to train us. Written in order to equip us as servants of God, Paul says, right? That we would do what we've been called to do, and that's live like Jesus, grow together and serve God's kingdom. This book is useful to us. And we are to be, we are to seek to be shaped by the word in all those things that we do. All right, story time. My son loves Lego. Confession time. I love Lego, right? And I use my son as an excuse to get to build it and play with it and buy it, and it's pretty awesome. But I love being able to play with Maverick and build these sweet little sets. And have you guys looked at Lego these days? No more is it just like the legit 2x4 little bricks that you can build whatever. It's like these customized special little pieces. And you... Again, confession, if I am going to build Lego the way that it looks like on the box, or the way that those little cars have been designed by their maker to actually fully be created, I need to look at the instructions, right? I need to follow the instruction manual and able to use all those pieces, make it look right, function properly. And so without watering it down, friends, this book, this is our instruction manual for life. Amen. It is. It is our instruction manual for life This book, God has designed humanity to live in such a way, friends, to live in right relationship with him. And if we're not in this book, then we will not know, we do not know, we can't know how we are to live, how we are to live in right relationship with God. So the Bible's our instruction manual. And the intent of this book and the God-breathed words that are in there is to instruct us. It's to shape us. And all the while drawing us closer to the heart of God the Father as we grow in our likeness to his Son, Jesus Christ. Looking further at our value of word and spirit, I can also easily say that I firmly believe that the church does, in fact, thrive as a community when she regularly comes together to hear the word of God preached and proclaimed, and then when the church is challenged to live that out. A perfect example of this can be seen in the book of Acts in chapter 2, New Testament. Book of Acts, chapter 2, we read these words starting at verse 42, page 1092 in your house Bible. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That is, to those things taught to the disciples by Jesus himself, those things that are now written down in this book for us. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, Luke writes, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There's something so powerful about coming together regularly in the name of Jesus and looking to the written word of God with hungry hearts, with open minds. And we see this so evident, so clearly portrayed in the early church found in Acts, that the church gathered together, right, regularly to preach, to teach, to proclaim the word of God, aside from other acts of worship and body life. And Luke writes that their numbers were added to daily. Could you imagine what that looks like? Each day seeing new people join this beautiful community of faith, hope, and love called the church. Every day, each and every day, seeing people saved out of a life of sin and darkness and despair, saved into a life of life and liberty in Christ Jesus. Every day. Man, I wish we saw more of that. Amen? I can't wait to see more of that. That's the power of the word. That's the power of regularly coming together as the body of Christ to hear the word proclaimed and then to fearlessly and boldly live out the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Finally, we see in our statement on word and spirit that the word of God is relevant for all people. For all people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status. Scripture is relevant. It is for us. You know, and Jesus is a prime example of this. Our whole series, right, we think of the code and we're talking about these values. And we thought, as a staff team, we need to always bring it back to Jesus. Always bring it back to him. Jesus perfectly exemplified all of these values. Authenticity, boldness, creativity, excellence, prayer, word and spirit, and others. He perfectly exemplified them for us. He is our model. And so we're going to bring it back to him every time. And did you know that Jesus is a prime example of showing and proving the relevancy of the truths of the kingdom to all people. Just look at the way that he told stories and parables. Look at the way that he connected these truths of the kingdom to the audience of his day. Jesus, knowing the audience in context, he knowing the economic, governmental, religious systems that were in place, he told stories about sheep and goats, right? He told stories about farming and raising crops and tending vineyards. He told stories about Samaritans and Judeans, stories about lost sheep, lost coins, talents, these things called talents. It's different than talents, yeah, that we kind of think of, right? But he connected to his audience. He told these stories using these things that would connect with the people of his day, using illustrations that would work for his audience in order that they would know the word of God in a real and applicable way. And I like to think, man, if Jesus was alive today, I like to think he would kind of speak to us on our level in a way that we would understand. You know, not many of us are farmers, right? Not many of us raise sheep for a living. I think Jesus maybe would have used illustrations like, man, iPhones and Netflix. Maybe he would have used TV shows in the sense of speaking to us by using TV shows for illustrations like America's Got Talents, right? Just play on words. That was funny. Or The Walking Dead. I don't know. Like, he could have used stuff like that is relevant in our culture to speak to us. Maybe he would have talked about oil and gas. Maybe he would have talked about our current economic situation. Maybe he would have talked about Harper or Obama or ISIS even to speak to us about the timeless truths of the gospel, about the timeless truths of the kingdom of God in ways that are relevant to us, that make sense to us and for our context. And I believe that the word of God is for all people at all times. So don't say that this book is old, it's outdated, it's irrelevant. That is not true. It is for all people. It's for you. It is for me. It's for us. The Bible is relevant. It's alive. It's active. It's powerful. And it's for us. You know, I love this book. I really do. I love the words contained in it, the powerful promises of God that have been written for you and for I. I love the life, the real life that is awaiting us in Jesus Christ, the words that are spoken of in this book. And I love that. That's a value. Word is a value of ours. And what about you? Do you believe the words of this word and spirit value? Do you believe this declaration that the word is to be of the utmost importance to us in our lives? Do you believe the words that are found in this book? Do you love this book? Are you in this book? Do you know this book? Do you know the one to whom this book points? Or better yet, do you love God and love his word? And maybe I could ask this morning also, are our Sundays a priority for you? Is coming together as the body of Christ in his name to feed upon his word, is that a priority to you? Do you come here? Do you love hearing the word preached and proclaimed? Do you desire to be with the rest of your church family each week? Or do you come just out of religious duty? Do you come because it's convenient for you or when it's convenient for you? Do you dread hearing a 30-minute sermon each week? Do you neglect the importance of this community or the importance that you are to this community? We are a community, the church, built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. So let's not neglect coming together to hear the word preached and proclaimed and then together live it out. And we have a saying around here, and that is Sundays matter. Sundays matter. They really do. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, we're exhorted by the author of Hebrews to not give up meeting together, to not give up meeting together as the church, as some were in the habit of doing. We're supposed to come together, friends, regularly to hear the word of God preached and proclaimed. And we have access, man. We have access to the word of God. In some places in the world, people will literally give their lives to have their own copy of the scriptures. And we've got them by the shelf full at the back. So let's not take that for granted. Let's be in the word. Let's love the word. Let's honor it, hold it high. Let's be shaped and guided by the word in all that we do. Let's thrive as a community that regularly gathers together to hear the word preached and proclaimed. Let's anchor the Bible's relevant teachings to our lives in all that we do. All right, so that's word, right? That's word. But our value today is not just word, it's word and spirit. So what about the second half? What about the second half? What about that part of our value that also says this? We long for, seek, and expect the presence, power, and capacity of the Holy Spirit to be upon us. We believe his wind and breath brings us to life so that we may be empowered as a movement of people. We walk in humility, surrender, and dependency upon the Spirit. We believe form and structure must submit to the Spirit so that we may be fully receptive to God's presence amongst us. Do you believe these words? Do you believe of the utmost importance that the Holy Spirit is to us, to our Christian life and walk and our witness? For starters, let me ask this. Did you know that we are now living in the age of the outpoured Spirit? Did you know that? Come along with me to the book of Joel, Old Testament, prophetic book, Joel chapter 2. Starting at verse 28, page 911. That's pretty easy to remember, right? In your house Bibles, 911. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. In this prophetic statement by the Old Testament prophet Joel, we are not given a picture, friends, of a time that is still far off, of a time that is yet to come, of a prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled. It has been fulfilled. And we are now living in this time. We're living in this prophecy. That time is now here. Since Pentecost, since those wonderful events described to us in Acts chapter 2, right? We've got in Acts chapter 2, the disciples, they're upstairs in the upper room. They're waiting. Jesus says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father. So they're there. They're praying. They're fervently seeking the Lord. They're waiting. And then suddenly there's a rushing wind. And heaven opens up and the Spirit is poured out in the form of fire. The Spirit falls on the disciples and starts speaking in tongues filled with the Holy Spirit. Fulfillment in Acts 2 of Joel chapter 2. The Holy Spirit has been poured out for all. He is available to us and for us. His presence, his power, his capacity at our disposal now. If we would just long for, seek, and expect and ask that he would powerfully move in our lives. So what does this mean, really? Right? That's a big sentence. What does this mean? What does it mean when we say that we are to long for, seek and expect the presence, power, and capacity of the Holy Spirit to be upon us? When it comes to the Holy Spirit, rather than having an attitude of hesitancy, rather than having an attitude of fear or caution toward the Holy Spirit, an attitude or a posture which is actually completely unbiblical, we must, friends, have an attitude of expectancy, of longing, of waiting, of desiring and expecting the presence and work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Again, he's been poured out for all. Acts 2, Pentecost, he's been given for all. And just like the word of God is for me and for you and for you and for you, for us, so is the Holy Spirit. He is for us. He's for us. He's been poured out for all. And we are living in the age of the outpoured Spirit. And so we are to long and to seek and to expect him in our lives. This should be our posture. You know, for years, the posture of the Christian and Missionary Alliance towards the Holy Spirit, towards his work and the gifts of the Spirit, it was this. It was seek not, forbid not. Seek not, forbid not. But only half of that is true. Only half of that statement is true. While yes, we are not to forbid the work of the Holy Spirit, we're not to forbid the using of the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us as a blessing to the church. We're not to forbid the Holy Spirit, but we are to seek him. We are to desire him. We are to long for him and to expect him to move in mighty ways amongst us. You know, at the end of chapter 12 in Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church, at the end of this discussion on the work and giftings of the Holy Spirit, Paul writes these words. He says this, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. Eagerly desire the greater gifts. That's not seek not. That's seek now, friends. eagerly desire the greater gifts, he's saying. Desire gifts like prophecy, gifts like healing and speaking in tongues. Desire these things. Desire gifts like the word of knowledge or discernment. Desire the Holy Spirit, he's saying, and his fullness, his ministry in us. Desire him. It's not seek not, it's seek now. This is to be our posture. This is to be our posture. Our word and spirit statement also says that we believe the Spirit, his wind and his breath, brings us to life so that we can be empowered as a people, as a movement of people under God. And in various places in Scripture, places like Ezekiel chapters 36 and 37, as well as John 3, we read of how the Spirit of God gives us life. That he brings us from a place of death, spiritual death, into this place of new life, real life, everlasting life, life that is found only in and through Jesus. In Ezekiel chapter 36, picking up at verse 25, that's page 864 in your house Bibles if you guys want to turn there. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25, we read these words, "And I'll sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit in you, says the Lord. I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land that I gave your ancestors. You will be my people and I will be your God," he says. The Spirit of God brings us to life. And we see the same thing in John chapter 3, Jesus talking about new birth, birth by spirit and water. The Spirit brings us to life. He fills him, fills us with himself, his presence, his life, empowering us as a movement of people under God to live holy lives, godly lives, lives that would reflect his glory to the world, lives that would point the world to Jesus Christ, our source of life. We need the Spirit of God, friends. We need his life. We need his empowering. You know, this passage also talks about how we've been given the Spirit. And then it says, "And I will move you. Once the Spirit is in you, I will move you," says God, "to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws." We have a purpose. The Spirit is in us to give us new life and then to help us live holy, godly lives, to help us live in right relationship with God, to walk in his ways, to follow his decrees, for us to be God's people and for him to be our God. We need to be full of the Spirit, dependent upon his power, dependent upon his presence and capacity in our lives. Finally, our word and spirit statement says this. It says, we will walk in humility, surrender, and dependency upon the Spirit. We believe form and structure must submit to Spirit so that we may be fully receptive to God's presence amongst us. Friends, God is always speaking. He's always speaking. He's guiding, directing, leading, and he does this largely by his Spirit. Yes, he speaks through his word, but he speaks by his Spirit as well. And we need to be open to the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives. We must walk in humility, thinking less of ourselves than we ought to in order to give God space, in order that we would actually think less of ourselves and more of him and allow him to speak into us, speak into our lives, and to lead us the way that he would see fit. I had a very cool experience a few months ago. A number of pastors and some other staff members here, some people from our church, we were able to go to this thing called Holy Spirit Encounter. And that was in January in Canmore. And you say, well, what did you do there, Nick? Well, it was pretty cool. We actually encountered the Holy Spirit, right? Self-explanatory Holy Spirit Encounter. It was cool. And for me, I got to be honest with you guys. This area, this realm of the Holy Spirit, it's still new to me. It really is. I grew up in a Mennonite Brethren church and then a Baptist church. And then I came here, part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance church. And so learning about the Holy Spirit, acting out of that place of understanding him, that's foreign to me. So this was a new experience, but it was such a cool experience. We got to go to this Holy Spirit encounter and to learn about the person and work of God's Spirit. We got to learn about him and how he ministers to us. We got to learn about the surrender that we need to have, that posture of surrender and expectancy, allowing God to work in us by his Spirit. We got to learn about things like listening to the voice of God, about removing those roadblocks in our lives, those things that keep us from the work of the Spirit in our lives and keep him from working in our lives and us knowing him. It's very cool. And so after kind of learning about some of this stuff, I had a very neat experience, a very cool experience, and God spoke to me. God spoke to me. And he spoke to me right into my life. He also spoke through me into the lives of two distinct, separate individuals on things that I should not have had any idea about. But he spoke. And I'm not saying I have it all figured out. This is new. But I'm saying if we would give God that space, if we would seek him, if we would listen to his voice, we will hear his voice. And we will be blown away by all that he has to say to us, friends. God is speaking. You know, Jesus says in the Gospel of John, my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. Jesus, the good shepherd, we are his sheep, his flock that he cares for, he watches over. And we are to know his voice, to know the voice of the Holy Spirit, to walk in surrender to him, to walk in dependency upon him, just like Jesus depended upon God the Father. Again, we're called to live like Jesus, grow together, serve his kingdom. Live like Jesus. What does that look like? Jesus was full of the Spirit. He walked in step with the Spirit. He walked in dependency upon the Father. That means we need to be doing that as well. You know, as John the Baptist also said, those famous words, right? He says, less of me, more of Jesus. Less of me and more of Jesus. That needs to be our posture. If we want to hear from God, if we want to be led by him, open to all those things that he has in store of us, we need to say, okay, less of me, more of you. Less of me, more of you, God. That needs to be our posture. We long for, seek, and expect the presence, power, and capacity of the Holy Spirit to be upon us. We believe his wind and breath brings us to life so that we may be empowered as a movement of people. We walk in humility, surrender, and dependency upon the Spirit. We believe form and structure must submit to the Spirit so that we may be fully receptive to God's presence amongst us. Do you believe these words this morning, church? Do you believe of the importance, the absolute necessity that the Holy Spirit is to us? Not just about word, it's word and Spirit held together in tandem, in balance. And where are you at with the Holy Spirit? Where are you at with spiritual gifts, right? Those weird ones, quote unquote, like prophecy, like healing, like tongues. Where are you at with that stuff? Have you asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit lately? Have you sought him? Have you asked him to lead you? Ask him to speak to you? Do you have a posture of dependency, expectancy, openness? Or are you more on the cautious side, the fearful side, maybe even the cynical side? I don't know where you're at, so that's why I'm asking. Where are you at this morning? Only you and the Lord know. Is this unfamiliar territory for you? I got to say, it is for me. It's becoming more familiar, and I want to go more into it. I want to delve into the fullness of all that God would have for me, but it takes time. You know, the first half of this value, word and spirit, the word side, that's easy for me to grasp. You know, it's right here. The word of God is tangible. It's in my hands. My experience with it is daily. It's real. It's concrete. And I wish that my experience with the Holy Spirit was the same, that it was that real and tangible. But I'd say, like myself, I bet for a lot of you here today that that's just not the truth, that we are unbalanced, that it's more word than spirit. Maybe it's the other way. Maybe it's more spirit than word, but we need to be holding word and spirit together. We're living in the age of the outpoured spirit. The Spirit of God now available to us. We've been given the Holy Spirit as a gift from the Father, and he dwells within us. He's here for us. He's for us. He's waiting for us just to ask, to seek, to knock, to expect him to move in our lives. You know, so why for some of us do we struggle with that idea of the Holy Spirit? Why do we struggle with his role in our lives at times? Why do we struggle with the idea of the Holy Spirit gifting the church with miraculous gifts? Why do we struggle with the idea that the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us to live godly lives, that he's the one who empowers us to effectively witness to the ends of the earth, that he's the one who empowers us to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to raise the dead to life? He has that power and ability. We have that power and ability through the Holy Spirit. We do. We struggle with that tangible reality, myself included. But we need the Holy Spirit just as much as we need the Word of God in our lives. We need him. Absolutely, we need him. We're living in that age of the outpoured Spirit. And if we are to make a powerful difference in this world, if we are to live fully empowered as the church, in the way that we read of in the New Testament if we are to effectively point the world to Jesus and the new life that he has made available to all. If we are to live and grow and serve and fulfill our purpose and mission as the church, then we must not only be a word church, but a spirit church as well. Word and spirit, held in balance, held in tandem with each other, these two gifts of God. There's a reason Paul commands in Ephesians to be filled with the Holy Spirit, he says. It's a command, not just a nice, maybe that you should be filled. That'd be cool if you were filled. It's a command. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled to the fullness of all the measure of God, Paul says. Be filled again and again and again. Not a one-time deal. Be filled and filled again. There's a reason why he said that. We need word and spirit together. So let me ask this. Are you in balance? Are you in balance with word and spirit? Do you have both? Do you seek both? Do you need both? You know, maybe you're here today and you're all about word, right? Maybe you love the word, you're in the word. The word is your foundation. You're living out the word each and every day. And I'd say that's awesome. That's great. But do you have the spirit? Do you have the spirit? Or maybe today you're all about the spirit. You're all about spirit-empowered living, spirit-filled this, spirit-filled that. That's great too. We need to be spirit-indwelt people. We are spirit-indwelt people. We need to live out of that. And that's awesome. But I want to ask you, do you have the word? Are you rooted in the word? Are you weighing out against the word of God, these words of prophecy and knowledge? Are you testing the spirits against the inerrant word of God? Are you walking not only in step with the spirit, but also in step with the perfect word of God? Are you seeking and allowing the word of God to shape and inform your position and view of the Holy Spirit? And then what about the word people? Are you being led by the spirit? Are you allowing yourselves to be empowered by him for service? Are you walking in step with him? Are you living a spirit-empowered life, or are you living just a human self-empowered life? Are you listening to his voice? Are you listening to him? Are you using the gifts that he's given you? Are you asking him for greater gifts? Desire the greater gifts, said Paul. You're looking to the Spirit to illuminate these words of Scripture, to make sense of the word of God to you, or are you just depending on your own human wisdom and understanding? Have you sought him lately? Have you asked for him? Have you asked for his filling in your life? Again, we need both. We need both. That's what I'm trying to get at. We need both word and spirit. Full of word, full of spirit. Both gifts from God. If you've got your Bible still open, come with me to one final passage of Scripture. To the New Testament book of John, chapter 20. It's on page 1088 in your house Bibles. And it's here in the Gospel of John that Jesus has been crucified. You know, the tomb that he was laid in, it's been found empty and bare. And his disciples are afraid. They're in a house. They're sitting there. The doors are locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. I think they're terrified. They're confused. They don't know what to do. Messiah, Jesus, their rabbi, he's been killed. And so they're sitting there waiting. And then suddenly Jesus is there in the room with them. He is standing there. He's not dead, he's alive. He's not locked outside of their house, he's right there. He's not far from them, he's close to them, he's with them. And Jesus looks at them, John says, and he shows them his hands, he shows them his side. I like to think he smiled at them. And he says this, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I, Jesus, am sending you." And with that, John says, Jesus breathes. He breathes on them. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. As the Father has sent me full of the Spirit, dependent upon the Spirit, so I am sending you to be full of the Spirit, dependent upon the Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit, says Jesus. Friends, I believe today that Jesus wants to breathe new life into some of your lives. I believe that Jesus wants to take you, your hand in his nail-pierced own, and lead you into this new territory called the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're here and this Holy Spirit stuff is unfamiliar to you. It's strange. It's scary at times, right? But I'm asking you this today. Would you allow Jesus to lead you there? Would you allow Jesus to lead you there? Would you allow him to teach you more about the Holy Spirit? Would you allow him to breathe new life into your Christian faith?
The Holy Spirit is our source of life and capacity to live like Jesus. The Holy Spirit, He is our source of knowledge and connectedness to grow together. He is our source of strength to serve the kingdom of God. So again, I ask, would you receive the Holy Spirit from Jesus this morning? Would you let Him lead you into this new territory? Would you let Him teach you more about the Holy Spirit? Would you be open to exploring this new facet of faith? We need Word and Spirit. And maybe you're here and you're strong in the Spirit side of things. You get it. You're comfortable with it. You understand it. And you realize that you're weak on the Word side. Maybe you're weak there. Maybe you don't see the Word as important as the Spirit in your life. Maybe you don't seek the Word to speak to you as you seek the Spirit to speak to you. Maybe you're imbalanced. You're not rooted in the Word. And I would say, would you allow Jesus to lead you there as well? Would you allow Him to take your hand in His and to lead you into understanding how important and relevant and real and awesome and powerful is the living and active Word of God? Would you let Him lead you this morning where you need to go? Word and Spirit, both held together, held in tandem, both equal, both in balance. We need both gifts. They're so vital for our life as the church. My prayer for us today, church, is that we would be a people of both Word and Spirit. That the words of this value, that they would come true, that they would ring true, that we would live them out in our lives. That is my prayer. We would be a people of Word and Spirit. Let's worship together. Stand on up.